Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Ball back down.
Nuggets coach Michael Malone all but begged his team, implored, beseeched his team to quit messing around in first quarters and to start early, especially against these T-Wolves. And you looked up and Denver faced its largest home first half deficit, 61-35, in its playoff history. Once again, the defending champs at home looked overmatched on both ends of the floor. Minnesota 106-80. And now Minnesota is a 4.5-point favorite in Friday night's game 3 at Minnesota. So, Keyshawn, you tried to warn us about this. Is this series now completely, utterly over?
It's a wrap.
Wrap, says Keyshawn.
Okay. It's a wrap because now think about it. They got to go, you just said 4.5-point favorites at home. So they got to go home. Denver has to go and try to win 2 to even the score. Mm-hmm. They're not going to take 2 from the way that these guys are playing, despite not even having Rudy Gobert in the lineup.
Yep.
He wasn't hurt. He was going to take care of business with his wife and his family and his newborn baby, and congratulations to that. You're going to have some times that you're going to be up late at night, buddy. I'm just telling you as a father. So when you look at the Ant-Man, everything he does is just kind of infectious to the rest of the team. He even gave you a Michael Jordan kind of like, he knocked down a three. He just gave you the shoulders like, they can't do anything with me. The attitude alone trickles down to the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. Everybody, think about it. Their rim protector did not play, and they figured out defensively how to negate the Joker from having a Joker-ish game like he had against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just, how did that happen? Where did it happen? And then you say, Jamal Murray, for the last couple games, he in witness protection. Yep. You've got to find him. I don't want to hear anything about my calf hurt. And you're out on the floor. You're playing.
He is.
And you didn't show up and do anything. So I think it's over with. I think it's over. I think it's done. And Paul Pierce the other day, Rick tried to tell me as a Hall of Fame NBA guy that the experience and all of that lend itself toward the Nuggets with this one because they've been there and done it. Okay, they won one championship last year. It wasn't like they won 2 of the last 3 or 4 of the last 4. Or they won one.
They are the Lakers daddies.
That's fine. We ain't talking about the Lakers, though, Skip.
No.
We talking about this young Minnesota Bull of a team I don't want to call them young. They're stars young because Rudy Gobert's not young. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns is not young. Connolly certainly isn't young. And when you average his age into the mix of all them, they're older. But their star is a young rising star right before our eyes, that there's comparisons to one of the greatest to ever do it, if not the greatest to ever do it. Just comparisons.
What do you mean, if not?
Well,
what are you talking about?
I say if not, Skip.
Just give it up. Just give into it and go.
It's not me. Okay. I'm just, everybody has their own opinion about who the top dog is. That's all I'm saying. But Rick, I think it's over. Yeah. I understand they're the champs, and they can always come back.
Yeah.
But to think about it, do you really honestly think Minnesota's going to surrender 2 at home when they can taste it this close?
I don't know that they're going to surrender it, but I can't help but feel that I have not seen this entire playoff run anything that resembles the Denver Nuggets of a year ago. Hmm. And granted,
very true.
Bruce Brown is not there. Jeff Green is not there. I'm not going to attribute the difference that I see in them because their bench is a little bit shorter. Mm. Nikola Jokic is shooting 42% in this series through 2 games. Your man Jamal Murray is shooting 28%.
Oof, my man.
Oof. I thought that the way they played against the Lakers through the first three games was boredom. We own these guys. We don't have to play hard. We need 16 wins to get to accomplish what we did last year. Let's conserve our energy as much as we can and do the minimum. And then they lost game four. And I thought, okay, here's the wake-up call. They're going to go home and they're going to dominate. And when they didn't, it was the first time that my confidence in the Denver Nuggets was shaken, because I thought, maybe this isn't boredom. Maybe this is fatigue. Maybe this is carrying what champions, defending champions, have to carry in terms of getting everybody's best shot, going up against some young guns like the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves in chasing that number one seed in the West. Maybe it's just taken its toll on them. And so I'm not going to say that the series is over until I see game three. Because on the flip side of this is a Minnesota Timberwolves team that for the first time this year has gotten out of the first round. And now it's a little bit different in taking a lead against the Denver Nuggets, the defending champions, and putting that defending champion on death's doorstep. Mm. And so this game three, the pressure going home up 2-0 now, is going to flip. I think Denver's not going to feel any pressure. They're just like, we got to go for it now. And we'll see if the Denver Nuggets still have a button to push. Because to this point, I haven't seen it.
Okay. I am with Rick on this. I am not giving completely up on these Denver Nuggets. And I love it that you said it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
We got it on tape. It's a wrap.
It's done.
This team has too much basketball character to lay down and die in game three. I think you will get their best shot. And if they win game three, obviously you're looking up this Everest of a mountain, because you got to win four out of five to win this series. And it feels virtually, if not completely, impossible as we speak. Mm. As I tweeted last night, it's going to take a miracle. And then right when I tweeted, Anthony Edwards got his arm tangled up with Joker and he went to the bench and he's rubbing his shoulder. I think, is that a miracle? Because it can almost take something like that.
He rubbed his shoulder for 2 seconds and right back on the court.
He did, which is what 22 years of age can do for you, right? Okay. I will say this. It felt like they hit bottom last night in ways I never thought possible. When, with 4 minutes and 11 seconds left in the second quarter, they can't get out of their own way. And all of a sudden, I see a pad, a heating pad, fly into the fray.
Is that championship basketball? Okay, is that championship player?
I'm just saying, this is a man who's out of his mind. This is the 3-for-18 guy.
I understand.
He's over on the bench. He throws a heating pad, Jamal Murray did, into the fray. He just throws it in. Like, is he throwing in the towel? Is that what the equivalent of? But that's how out of it he was with frustration, where you just finally say, I can't watch this anymore. I'm going to throw this in there. Mm. Would you have been capable of doing something like that in the fourth quarter?
No, I would have never done that. Yeah. Now, if you tell me, would I have thrown a towel or squirted water on a referee walking by or something like that?
Yeah,
I probably would have done that. Yeah. I probably, if I'm that frustrated, where I'm just, I can see myself that, but I would never get that frustrated, though. I wouldn't.
Are you saying you didn't take it that seriously?
No, I did, but I just wouldn't get that frustrated to the point. And I don't really know if he actually was throwing it or he was throwing it down and it slid out.
Yep.
I don't really.
I think he was having such a bad shooting night that even
it bounced wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, you know what I'm saying, Skip? I don't know that he intentionally threw it on the floor or he was throwing it down to the point where the people that was in front of him, he didn't want to hit when he was throwing it down, so he threw it slightly in front of him and it slid across the floor. I'm just saying, I don't know.
You must have been something in the principal's office. Mm. See, what I meant to do was...
So you really, Rick, you think based on the evidence that we see in the video... That he deliberately threw it on the floor.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm with you. I just wouldn't I wouldn't try to explain it. I think everything went wrong, and that was only part and parcel of an entire team that lost its focus.
Yeah.
That's what was most.
But if you're a championship team,
that doesn't happen.
You don't do that.
Agreed. And I think it reflects the level of frustration that they had, that they could not get anything done. And I think the biggest reason is because they're all trying to do it individually. And the one thing you would think from a championship team
Agreed.
Is we need to come together. Mm. Jamal Murray, they have Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards. Like, you're not going to win those one-on-one battles. Nikola Jokic, the reason I put him at the top of my MVP ballot this year for the first time was because I saw from the beginning of the year that when you put a smaller defender on him, he wasn't going to just pass or wait for the double team. He was going to put that guy into the paint
and was going to score on him
so that if you were going to double team him, you better come in a hurry if there's an undersized guy. He's not doing that. He's playing so soft and casual, and Jamal's trying to do too much. And now Aaron Gordon and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, their cuts are slow, and they just don't look like the Denver Nuggets that took so many teams apart last year, and I can't quite explain it. I'm going to give the Minnesota Timberwolves credit.
They split this year, though, Rick.
They understood. They've presented the greatest challenge. But if the Nuggets are aggressive, if Nikola Jokic is aggressive and Jamal Murray doesn't try to do too much, if they involve everybody and they're getting beat like this, I'm good. I just haven't seen the Denver Nuggets come anywhere close to playing the type of basketball that they can play. Maybe it won't be good enough. But I can't. I mean, it was the same against the Lakers. The Lakers stayed close because the Denver Nuggets simply were sleepwalking through the better part. Unforced errors.
Yeah.
Guys not playing hard. Okay, that was the Lakers. To your point, like you've owned them. I get that.
Oh, messed up.
This is a different.
Well, you know that is true.
You know that's. I mean, you can't argue that. You can't go to the principal's office and say, "Well, no, actually,
But could it be such that the Lakers made them play a certain way for three and a half quarters? It's the same way Minnesota is making them play a certain way because of Minnesota's length, their athleticism, the things that they're capable of doing. They're running big guys in and out of the lineup with length. Could it be such that you make a team play different because of the challenges that you present for them? This isn't last year, like you said, Rick, they, I guess, ran through the Western Conference, won the championship, whatever you want to call it. That was probably their best shot last year. That was probably their best shot.
Do you think that the Denver Nuggets have been aggressive and played on point basketball the way we saw them play last year to this point?
I do, and here's the reason I say that in the playoffs. Here's the reason I say that, because the same Western Conference challenge that the Lakers presented for them, they lost it about 20 minutes in those four games. That 20 minutes is why they lost. The last 5 minutes of each one of those games, the Nuggets had their number.
Yeah, but don't you think that the first 3 quarters, 3.5 quarters,
it's the same
weren't
team.
Because the Lakers, I mean, the Nuggets knew that they could get to those final minutes?
No,
and say,
I don't think so.
We don't have to win the game in the first,
no,
second, or
so.
Third quarter.
I don't think so. Here's the difference. Last night in particular, the game was won in the first half. Yeah. Halftime, what was it, 30 points and a half?
How about the first 2 minutes?
Or the first 2 minutes, whatever.
Seriously.
Yeah. The first 2 minutes.
No, they just took the game over. Yeah.
The difference in the Lakers in Minnesota is Minnesota was up by 30. They never surrendered that lead. They got down to 19, maybe, I think. And that was it. They went right back up. The Lakers would have a 20-plus lead, and they just blow it.
But the Nuggets would look at them like, it's cute. You know, that's cute. Yeah. That's nice. Well, watch this.
Because they didn't finish the deal.
Yeah.
Minnesota wasn't going to allow it to happen.
But the Nuggets could do that against the Lakers at the end of the first half. Like, pull it back within 3 or 5. Let's just keep it close until we need to close this out. Maybe they've created some bad habits. Maybe you just can't get out of that slow start mentality because you haven't had to, but they're going to have they're gonna have to find it now.
Jamal Murray is still the best closer in the game. He just hasn't had anything to close in games 1 and 2, even though 1 was still something of a game until Anthony Edwards said, I got this. This time it's mine. Mm. And yet If you give him a shot in game three to close it, I will bet you he will close it. I'll bet you he'll rise above this. He's just up against a three-headed monster because he's got Anthony on him this time down. And then the next time down, it's Jaden McDaniels, who's 6'9 and long. And then the next time down, it's Alexander Walker, who's also, I don't know, how is he 6'7-ish?
Yeah. He's got a nice wingspan,
but he's
for sure.
Big, long.
Think about what you just said, though, Skip. Yeah. And I'm not going back to the Lakers, but think about what you just said. You just named three guys that are all bigger than the people outside of Anthony Davis that at the end of the games we forced. Think about it.
Well, it's Austin Reeves trying to chase him.
Yeah. Smaller, not as athletic as none of these guys.
Austin Reeves is 6'7". He's just not long, and he's not athletic and explosive.
Exactly. So they're faced with a different challenge from a defensive standpoint.
Sure,
agreed. But don't you think that Jamal Murray knew at the end of the game, I'm going to be guarded by Austin Reeves?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So I can go get this?
Yeah.
My issue with Jamal, and you're right, as a closer, he can give it to you when you need it. I feel like he's hunting that in the first and second quarter, which is not getting everybody else involved. Yeah. And I don't need you to prove anything to me in the first or second quarter. I need Jokic, if he's going to be guarded by 6'9 Naz Reid, forcing that second defender and forcing it early so that Michael Porter Jr. It has wider open shots. I mean, even the shots that Denver was getting were difficult. And I've been told this by scouts in the league. Where Minnesota is most formidable is one-on-one defense. That they have all these great one-on-one defenders. Yeah. But if you make Anthony Edwards chase and rotate, if you make Karl Anthony Towns have to make decisions, like now you can open Mike Conley, you can get switches. Now you can try to find some holes in that number one defense. And the Denver Nuggets are simply not doing that. They're all individually trying to beat them. And as we've said, the matchups don't work for them in that case. They're not going to win this series if that doesn't change.
But the Nuggets did beat them twice in the regular season. So it's not like it's impossible to do. And Keyshawn, the other point is, Rick and I have been doing this for a long, long time, covering these playoff series. They do tend to flip on their head when you least expect it.
Yeah. Oh, like that's true.
You'll say,
it'll happen.
Wait a minute. What just happened?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. No, they're not.
Yeah,
are you almost certainly right about this?
It's just something about that guy that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
It's something about his eyes, man,
that
tells me he's not going to allow that to happen. I've seen this before.
Yeah. Well,
I've seen guys like that. I'm not getting ready to let these
Carl Anthony
back.
Said after the game last night, as long as he's talking SH, we good. You know, like they like to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, that's
absolutely.
They haven't had that before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is called leadership.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn how old he is. That's called leadership.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not about, as you would tell me about Michael, I'm not about, not on my watch. That's Anthony Edwards, not on my watch. It's not going to happen. I'm going to take game one over in the end. Oh, they coming back. I got this. Don't even worry about it.
Cat, for years, I thought he had, if you will, a little too much kitty in him, you know, just a little too much kid, you know, and he needed some of this, and he is feeding off this kid.
Yeah, all it takes is one.
It takes one. He's got some of that Keyshawn in him, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
The series would have been over a long time ago if it was me.
Oh,
I'd have been on the Lakers. We'd have won.
Really?
Yeah.
If you had been a Laker,
we'd
have won.
We'd have won.
Really?
Okay. Even if I was sitting on the bench and never played. Because I'd have been getting into somebody's ass.
Okay.
For sure.
And it could be basketball, not football.
It doesn't matter what sport it is. I'm not going to sit back and watch what took place.
You would have made Austin Reeves a lockdown defender.
Why not? Just tell him. Say, get up in him,
man. I just want to make sure I got it straight.
Get up in him. Don't be afraid. Get up on him.
Listen, that second shot that Jamal made, Austin Reeves was all over it.
But he let him get in front of him, around him.
A bit. He got picked.
He got picked a little bit. Yeah. But then Anthony Davis got put in the bind because he couldn't close down because Joker was behind him. So he kind of had to play on both.
Back in the principal's office.
Yeah.
What happened was.
Explain, huh?
I'm going to let Keyshawn live in his delusion over there for a little bit through this commercial break. Up next. Is Ty Lue still even a remote possibility for the Lakers? Rick's got the inside on that.
How did the Lakers sneak back into this conversation?
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right, VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Shams reports that candidates to replace Darvin Ham as Lakers coach include Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, Charles Lee, J.J. Redick, and Ty Lue. There he is again. So, Rick, what do you make of Ty Lue continuing to be listed as a reported candidate for this job?
That what is driving this list is it's LeBron James's wish list.
Oh, and interesting.
And that and any other candidate that we can somehow connect to what the Lakers might be after, as opposed to that there's real direction here. And I think it's a reflection of where the Lakers are, which is really at cross purposes. Like, what do we want? Mike Budenholzer and Charles Lee are two completely different level coaches in terms of experience and everything else. Are we getting a young coach that we're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle with? Or are we looking for the veteran coach with a championship pedigree that can take this one last shot at it? And then we got J.J. Redick, who's never coached before. So to me, it reflects the fact that this isn't a job that everybody's pining for. It's a job that the Lakers are trying to figure out who can we get. And this is not the first time that it's happened in recent memory. That's where we ended up. Terry Stotts was a candidate for the Lakers job.
Yep.
And it ended up with Darvin Ham, largely because he was the guy that they could sell and the guy who wanted the job. And I look at the circumstances that the Lakers are in right now, Keyshawn.
I'm listening to you.
This is important for you to hear to understand where the Lakers are right now. This is not an attractive job.
It's never an attractive job, believe it or not.
Well, it's a particularly unattractive job right now because you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the expectations of playing for championships. And yet, that's not a reality with this roster, nor do you have the resources to make it into a championship roster. So if I'm coming in with high expectations and low resources, what head coach, what coach, whether young or old, wants to step into that?
Mm.
Well, you start with LeBron James, right?
Okay.
Do you want to have a relationship and coach LeBron James? That's number one, because you got to have it. You got to have a relationship to be able to coach him. You can't just bring in
anybody.
Anybody can't bring in Budenholzer just because he's a name that's out there.
And he has a ring.
That's not going to work.
Agree.
We've tried that many times in the past with other stars that we've had with the Lakers. Every time a Laker job comes open, it's never the first candidate. Mm. If you covered back, you've been covering this stuff for a while.
Very true.
It's never the first candidate. This is why I said this has always happened. We go through a list.
Yep.
And we may miss on guys that we actually should have hired in the past, like a Ty Lue. We wouldn't be having this conversation had we, and I say we as a Laker fan and
fact,
a front office guy of the Lakers, had we made the decision not to tell him, you can't hire who you want, you got to take our assistants that we want you to hire.
And lowballed him.
All that's part of it.
Yeah.
Can't do that with a guy with this resume who knows what he's going to do, because Ballmer's not, you think him and Jerry West are going to allow Ty Lue to stay in Staples Center? Not a chance. So we might as well even stop having that conversation.
Agreed.
He's going to write the check whatever they're trying to figure out economically, if they want to bring back the Hardens in Georgia. They're trying to figure all that out.
Mm.
The money's not an issue. Now you start to say, candidates, J.J. Redick, do you want a guy who's never done it before? We all like J.J. Mm-hmm. Calls the games great, was a great knockdown shooter, all those sort of things. But do you really want a guy who's never done it,
yeah,
despite being able to get some top assistants to come along with him and teach him the ropes? Mm-hmm. In LeBron James's last couple years, do you want to waste that messing around and be back into a situation that you've been in the last couple years, which mm-hmm. is playing yeah. tournaments and things of that nature? Probably not. So now you start to look at the checklist. And I'll keep bringing up Fizdale.
Okay? I agree with that.
I'll keep bringing that up mm-hmm. because there's a relationship that's there. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not LeBron is telling them, hey, take a look at Fizz, I don't know. But I'm just saying,
well, he's not making the wish list.
Well,
right?
at least publicly.
Yeah.
But here's a guy, when you look at Fizz's tenure in Memphis, they went to the playoffs the one year, they won 40-some-odd games or whatever it was. Then all of a sudden, next year, they went 7. He's gone at the start of the season. Then he takes a Knicks job. Did you see the roster that he had with the Knicks? He's 22 games in. He's fired. So you say to yourself, you give a guy like that real player skip, real give him Anthony Davis and give him LeBron James and see what he can do, because you're giving other people those opportunities. Now, all of a sudden, you got the assistant coach out of Boston.
Charles Lee.
Charles Lee. All of a sudden, he's, oh, my God, we should hire him.
Well, he's your Darvin Ham. He'd be the next.
Same thing.
Same.
I would rather go get a guy who's done it
mm-hmm.
and had mild success with bad team or bad rosters and was able to get something out of them and then turn to him and take a look at it. That's just me, though.
All right. Allow me to attempt to read Ty Lue's mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know him. I have not talked to him about this. I'm just going to tell you what I believe from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you put Ty Lue on a lie detector right now, and we're going to go deeper into the Clippers in just a few minutes here, I believe he would tell you, I would have a slightly better chance of winning a championship with the Lakers next year than the Clippers. We don't know how the Clippers are going to sort themselves out with Paul George and James Harden.
Yeah.
But because of Ty's relationship with LeBron, I believe he believes he could get the very best out of LeBron.
Absolutely.
And maybe help save him from himself minutes-wise from early in the season to later, which is how Darvin and LeBron clashed early last year. Let's try to restrict for your own good. And LeBron says, no, you can't make me do that. I'm going to play as many. And he winds up playing the fifth most average per night minutes in the league. I just think that Ty Lue won with LeBron. I do think they have a bond. I think he has a deeper respect for LeBron than a lot of people do, because he thinks he could get down under the surface and that LeBron will listen in a good way to Ty.
Yeah.
So my point is, the only reason I could see this being out there on this list, on Shams' list, is because somehow Ty is letting it known that he would have some intrigue with the Laker job. But he's under contract. He would have to go to Steve Ballmer and say, you got to let me go. I would rather go coach them. Like,
yeah.
if he goes and says, my heart's just not in this anymore, I don't think we can go any farther than we went, because I don't trust Kawhi's health and I don't trust James in big late games and blah, blah, blah. All those things that I have issues with, I think Ty would also have issues with. Does he want to fight with Russ coming off the bench a whole nother year? It's hard, man. It's a grind.
What's harder, though, Skip? Fighting with Russ or worrying about whether Kawhi's going to get hurt or if James Harden's going to have a bad night?
Yep.
What's worse?
Or
dealing with Linda Rambis, Kurt Rambis, Rob Pelinka, and Jeannie Buss. What you think for Ty Lue, who's been in that building and have dealt with that organization?
Is he going to show up tonight, or is he going to get hurt tonight?
Well, he
is
played 70-plus games.
I know, but then we got to the final game, and he banged shoulders with
he was fine.
Michael Porter Jr., and he's like, I think I just
he was
died.
Fine. But think about that. Here's a organization that you played for, won championship for, did everything for, when it was time for you to get the head coaching job, they lowballed you economically, and then they wanted to give you me as your assistant.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. They wanted us to be his assistant coaches.
That is true.
So do you honestly think that as much love as he got for LeBron and maybe AD and some other guys on the team, that he would want to deal with that versus I don't have to deal with that with Ballmer and Jerry West and company over there? No, I don't. I don't. And I'm going to get my money. And I'm going to be a $17, $18 million coach. Why would I want to deal with that?
Just because you think you might have a slightly better chance to win?
Yeah, this is what I know about Ty Lue. And it's when he came out and said, I'm not looking to go anyplace else. Ty is not the type. There are coaches in the league that would have been doing that to create an image of I'm not interested in behind the scenes. To your point,
Larry Brown, like
I'm trying to make it happen. Right. I'm just trying to put a good face on this. But yeah, I'd like to backdoor my way into the other team in the city. I don't get that with Ty Lue. If he's saying I don't want to go anywhere, I buy that. And part of it is that the Clippers, unlike the Lakers, demonstrated a faith in him.
Yes,
we they want did. You. And don't underestimate when you are a role player in the NBA, which is people aren't putting faith in you. Like you're a ride along, you're a come along, and now somebody says, "Hey, you know what? As a coach, you're our guy." That has power. And the Lakers basically did the exact opposite.
Yes.
They said, "Yeah, you know what? LeBron wants you, but we're not really buying you. If we can get you on the cheap, okay, we'll go along with it."
As an athlete,
I don't think Ty gets over that.
That's what I'm trying to tell Skip. As an athlete, though, Skip, and you've covered us a long time, there's certain things, like Rick is saying, it's trust, it's belief.
Yeah.
And if I ever sniff or smell that you don't trust and believe that I can get something done, now you coming back to the dance a second time around. Think about it. The girl in high school told you no. And then when you became Skip Bayless, eventually she tried to come back. You said, no, I'm good.
It's disrespect.
I'm good. I don't want to go out with you right now. This is the situation that Ty has faced.
All right. J.J. Redick. I'm just speaking selfishly because of what we do.
You want it to happen.
I want it to happen because we would be all over it every day.
1,000% with you.
Could J.J. Redick turn into Pat Riley? The next Pat Riley is coming up from broadcasting into Laker Nation.
I don't mean to cut you off, Skip, but Pat was on the bench.
I know, he was.
Well, not only that, but he had a team that was ready.
Oh, Lord have mercy, did he have a team.
Yeah, he was crazy.
A dynasty is
on. He had some coaching in his blood because he had actually been on the bench as an assistant.
But do not underestimate how LeBron has meshed minds with J.J. during their X's and O's podcast.
That's one guy.
They are talking deep basketball.
That's one guy.
And LeBron's got the highest IQ in basketball, and you can't tell me that he's not listening to J.J. thinking, you know what, this guy really gets
right? But, Coach, that's one guy.
One guy, how?
What? Because it's LeBron and that's it.
Oh,
you got 11 other dudes that he's got to get on the podcast with and design. No, seriously.
Well,
no,
but there's only one.
Think about it. But being a coach, you got to manage personalities across.
Yes.
What if Westbrook was on that team?
Lord.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or Pat Bev or somebody that you don't know how to communicate. They're not respecting you. You got to be able to get everybody's respect.
Okay, but JJ,
not just LeBron.
He looks the part. He can speak the part. He can act the part. You ran
Steve
down
Nash,
his list.
Steve Nash could do the same thing. Okay, guess what happened in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I think JJ's got a little more commanding officer in him. I'm more leadership to him. I could be wrong.
I'll give you that.
I don't know. One dude's dude's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
What was the big criticism with Darvin Ham, which was time management?
Yeah,
matchups. In-game decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He at least had the experience of being an assistant coach and watching Mike Budenholzer do that all the way to a champion.
He did.
J.J. Redick has never been in the fire. I think it was Fran Franchella made fun of the way he drew a play on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to have to get better at your play drawing skills. Like, That's how far, and this is the thing that I know with NBA players, it's probably the same in the NFL. The second you as a head coach demonstrate that you try to get them to do something that the inability, they know doesn't work.
The inability to get me to do what does done. Not work. You're 100% right. Mm. The inability to try, and I know it's not going to work, and you try to, and then I do it, and it doesn't work, you're done.
You're done.
So, Keyshawn, sad but true, I'm not sure you can right here, right now, do any better than Darvin Ham off what's out there. I'm not sure about this.
Mm. As a coach... Mm. I go back to Fizz. Because, again, remember, there's a respect that has to come with LeBron.
Absolutely.
As much as LeBron probably wanted to respect Darvin Ham, he never really showed them anything to gain or earn that respect long term. That's why when you see in the playoffs, LeBron in the middle of the floor, like, man, what the hell am I doing here? What is going on? I got to deal with this again?
That's when I knew. That's not it.
No, I knew, but see, I didn't need to know that. I knew when Anthony Davis said what he said toward the end of the season when they went on a little skid and he was like, we don't know what we're doing half the time. That's when I knew it was over. And I didn't need the playoffs to know because you got your second star player who's close to the star player who eats lunch and dinner and breakfast with each other and they having conversations and then Anthony Davis just happened to say it.
And that's also why a guy I knew who generally doesn't speak out like that.
No, right? That's another good point. All right, back to the Knicks. How far can they go playing their five starters pretty much the whole game?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
So think about this. The Pacers bench outscored the Knicks bench last night 46-3.
Gotta be a typo.
Whew. Yet the Knicks prevailed by four, playing their starters an average of 45 minutes. That included Josh Hart, again, going all 48. So, Rick, can the Knicks sustain winning with their starters playing this many minutes?
No, they can't.
Conventional wisdom would say, hell no.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know they've done it all year. Yeah. I know these guys are soldiers, but... they did it all year playing the slowest pace of any team in the league. And now they're going to play night after night the team that plays the second fastest pace and has much more depth. Look, Isaiah Hartenstein played the most minutes, or the fewest minutes, of any New York Knicks starter. Tyrese Haliburton played the most minutes of any Pacers starter. They both played 36 minutes. That's the separation between these two teams. And I just look at, yes, as I said earlier, the New York Knicks out-executed the Indiana Pacers in the final minutes. But the Indiana Pacers look to be the fresher team. And I just question whether Josh Hart, in those with his double-double and 12, 13 rebounds, when he's playing against a bigger, longer, deeper team, whether he's able to sustain that. And without any of that, without Jalen Brunson, 43 points, right? Josh Hart, 12, 13 rebounds. Do they win this game without that? And can you do that four times? That is hard for me to imagine. And the longer the series goes, the more it tilts toward Indiana. And I say this as someone who came into the playoffs and into this series thinking, no, the Knicks are going to get this done. But if Tom Thibodeau doesn't change his approach, look, just give Miles McBride five more minutes. Yep. Just give Alec Burton, go into your depth and use a couple of the guys that are on your bench and give your guys breathers, and then I'm back on that Knicks bandwagon. But right now, I just do not think the formula in game one is sustainable for four wins.
Well, they did it in four wins against the Sixers.
Okay, but Josh Hart, the Sixers still managed to play slower too.
No, I understand that, but you say can they get the same type of production from Jalen Brunson and from Josh Hart? What they did against the Sixers, they got the same production. So it would tell me, regardless if the minutes increase, these dudes are in shape.
Yeah,
it's not because I'm playing against the team that's the fastest, and I now have to increase mine. I have to increase my workload. I know this. And you say, well, they can wear down in the second half or in the fourth quarter. They can wear down. Yeah, they probably can, but they haven't displayed that yet. That's the only problem that I have.
I think they did.
How? How so? He had 21. Jalen Brunson had 21 in the fourth.
Understood. But collectively, I thought that the Indiana Pacers looked like the they didn't execute, but they looked to me like the fresher team down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, if it comes to a possession game, then yeah, you're still asking Jalen Brunson to go get all that by himself. That's the other part, is that there are no easy buckets for him. Mm-hmm. Like, he has to work for every single thing that he gets.
And that may be true, but he's knocking it down. They've yet to stop him. So
it's one game. It's one game.
Well, I could go to the last series.
And what did we talked about it earlier. How many times the turnovers that he had down the stretch?
Well, that was a bad. You get trapped in the corner. That was a weirdo.
To me, those are fatigue turnovers.
Tired turnovers.
That's not somebody jumping a passing lane. That's not getting trapped. That is. I mean, he fumbled away those balls.
See, I don't necessarily look at it as fatigue. I mean, like, if you're trapping a guy and a guy is trapped and you got two guys that's 9 feet tall over you, you got to figure out what to do with it. You happen to throw the ball. You did everything right. You got rid of the ball. It just bounced up, ricocheted.
That's the one, but the phantom kicked ball was simply
just losing
the ball. Yeah. Same with the other one.
He gets a little too cool for school with the ball, like he's nonchalant, like I'm at the Garden, I own the Garden, and he just gets careless with the basketball. Not sure it's tired. By the way, quick stat for you. To find a title team, an NBA title team, that played at least three starters 40-plus minutes through the playoffs, you got to go back to your 1980 Los Angeles Lakers. They had four who played 40-plus minutes. Magic, Kareem, it had been Magic's rookie year. Yeah. So it's Magic, Kareem, Norm Nixon, and Jamal Wilkes. Okay, so all four of them were playing 40-plus minutes, so they're playing four starters a whole lot of
minutes. Was that showtime or was that slow time? I don't remember. Yeah. That was 1980. I don't know how.
Well, were they getting up and down the court? They were playing up-tempo, yeah.
Were they? I don't remember. Yeah. It was so long ago.
This is Magic for Kareem in the championship.
If James Worthy was involved, they're playing up-tempo.
Were they? Because I thought showtime came once Pat got there, but I could, whatever. I don't want to. Go ahead, Skip.
All right, so. You're probably right about this. Again, conventional wisdom would scream that you're right. Yeah. But this is just the way I see things. So I grew up loving the sport of baseball. I love the St. Louis Cardinals. My favorite player was Bob Gibson. And in those days, every game he pitched, he's going to stay out there for nine innings, and it's going to be over in 2 hours and 2 minutes because it's just give me the damn ball, and I'm going to throw it again.
Heaters.
Do you remember Bob Gibson?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. All right. The point was nobody questioned it because he just did it every night. It's just how you did it. He's Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Just let him go. And now if the starter lasts 2 2/3, it's like an upset because they hit the bullpen. And then here we go. And it takes forever. And they're trying with the pitch clock to make it go faster, obviously, because they've lost a lot of young fans. But they didn't lose me in those days because I'm on the edge of my seat watching him pitch nine innings because I know he's going to stay out there for nine innings.
At least give me 7 2/3. I mean, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. I go to a game now. It's like, right. You're taking him off the mound already?
What? Yeah.
All right. The point is, the mindset of these guys is we can do this because we've been doing it and we've been successful with it. Will just attrition take over? Are the athletes just so much better now that they will wear these four or five guys down and finally out? Mm. You could be right. But Thibodeau is driving them to think this is the new way. This is our way because we can do this because we're in good enough condition. We're in good enough mental condition that we believe that we will outlast them in the fourth quarter with our starters. And Hartenstein only came out last night because he got in foul trouble. He always gets in foul trouble. But if Thibodeau had his dream game, I think he'd play all five of them 48 minutes because he believes in they're my best players. Yeah.
Their
right?
minutes on an average increased about seven more minutes than the regular season. They're starters.
Yeah.
It's not really a whole lot.
Oh, I disagree.
Really
seven playoff minutes.
That's
different.
What they've been doing the entire playoffs compared to the regular season.
I
understand the change of pace, Rick. I get it.
Yeah.
But they've been doing it.
Yeah.
Like Skip is saying, it's like we are mentally prepared to do this.
Yeah. Look, I understand that they are doing something remarkable, and I want to believe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to believe that fatigue is going to determine the series. I want to believe that. First of all, you appreciate that Thibodeau and the Knicks approach the game this way, right? How can you not enjoy guys who want to play every minute, want to play hard in this day and age of load management and
I agree.
All of that, right?
Yeah.
I would love to see it happen, but I'm just looking at the game today and what Indiana is doing and the intelligence of Rick Carlisle to say, you know what, Tibbs? I know how you approach things, and I'm going to take the thing that makes you great, and I'm going to make you pay for it.
He was trying last night.
Stressing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the one element that I have is that they don't have that guy that I trust to close.
That is the point.
If that was there, I would laugh outright at the idea that this is going to work.
Yeah.
That's the only way this is going to work.
Last night, when Obi Toppin came in, he changed the game. Off the bench for the Pacers, obviously, ex-Nick. T.J. McConnell, we talked about, he changed the game.
Yep.
Isaiah Jackson changed the game for a while when he came in. And Ben Shepherd, who's been shooting his brains out, I don't know what got into him, he came in and changed the game. I just gave you four players.
Yeah.
And Rick went to him early to say, Tibbs, I'm coming for you. I got him and I got him. And we're going to wear you down and completely out. And I thought they had him because they went up 9 with 10 minutes to go. And then all of a sudden, somebody's got to put their foot down and say, okay, we are going to slam the door shut. Yeah. And obviously Halliburton, maybe it's because of his back. He was a complete and utter no-show in the fourth quarter. Again, 0 points and zero assists. So you didn't even have impact passing the basketball. Well, that won't work because now I have to ask, who's your guy? Who is it for you? Is it Siakam? Is it Nesmith? Is it Nimhard?
Siakam's probably the closest.
He's the closest.
Right? Because he can get to different spots.
Yeah.
He's a matchup challenge, and I don't think he's afraid to take that shot.
Okay,
right?
So he made 3 out of 5 shots in the fourth quarter for 8 points. It was pretty good.
I mean, the big part of it for me really was you're going to put the ball in Ty's hands, Tyrese Halliburton's hands, and he was sloppy with it. He was loose with it.
He had 3 fourth quarter turnovers.
It was like, get the ball
so
to
maybe
someone
maybe
for a
he's,
shot.
He's tired.
I didn't see that as fatigue.
Maybe he's fatigued. That's why he hurt his back. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he's out of shape, Rick. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say they do get past the Pacers. Then they're going to almost certainly run into the big, bad Boston Celtics. And then it won't be a matter of how many minutes you play. It's just how good are you? You know, do you have enough to hang with them? Yeah, and they don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Right?
I wouldn't think so.
Well, okay, so who's the closer for the Boston Celtics?
Whoever they want it to be against them. Whoever they want it to be. Whoever they want it to be.
The Boston Celtics?
Yeah, whoever they want it to be.
That's not an answer.
You know,
that's a little bit like if you got multiple quarterbacks that you don't have.
No, I'm saying Jaylen Brown could be the closer.
You need no.
Tatum could be the closer.
Yeah.
No, I agree with Rick on this. I'm shaky on both.
They could just be the closer.
You know who's emerging?
They're good, man.
Derek White has been emerging.
Derek White could be the closer.
He can.
They're better than these teams that they're going to play. Any other three that's left outside of the Celtics, they're better than.
Look, first of all, let's just not give any credence to the Miami Heat series for the Boston Celtics. That was a lopsided mismatch from the absolute start. The fact that they gave up a game is troubling.
It was. Right? And it was at Boston.
Yeah, they gave up. They had to wake up.
That to me was questionable. And when it comes down to it, I'm sorry, as much as we've seen Derek White be a star, as much as Jaylen Brown wants to be the go-to guy, mm-hmm. they're going to put the ball in Jason Tatum's hands.
They will.
And say, go get it for us. And I have yet to see Jason Tatum come all the way through to win a championship in that role.
Okay.
No,
I need to see it.
You're not lying. He has struggled at times, late in games, to put his foot down.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Paul Pierce always says, he's still a baby. And I'm like, he's played eight years.
He's not a baby.
Not a baby in NBA minutes.
No.
But I think he'll be fine.